Kia ora te whānau pōho. It's time for something very special. Very special to me. Hopefully special to you as well. We don't usually do interviews on the Saturday 2 to 4, but I couldn't turn this one down. I got the opportunity to sit down with Russell Mail, one half of Sparks. It's pretty hard to describe Sparks, so if you'll forgive me the navel-gazing, I've often found the best way is to talk about how you got into them. Sparks are a duo consisting of two brothers, Ron Mail and Russell. And I first came across them when I was studying at Auckland University, when a very cool person who happened to go to Elam School of Fine Arts bought a boombox that took CDs into the quad. Wouldn't get away with that these days. Your Yui Boom would probably be chucked into the drinking fountain, but I think the word Elam does a lot of heavy lifting here. And they were playing an album by a group called Sparks. I asked what it was. They threw me the CD booklet. The cover was incredible. The brothers looked swish. And the name was Gratuitous Sax and Senseless Violins. Puns. Me and this band were going to get on great. Soon after, I was asked to review an album by Canadian singer Nico Case, which featured a cover of a track called Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth. The cover was from 1974, though, and was also by a band called Sparks. I didn't think it was possible that this band could be the same band, because that means they will have been making music, great music, across three decades. Well, not only were they making great music across three decades, they've now been making great music across six decades. It is my ultimate pleasure to now play you my chat with Russell Mail. They are coming to New Zealand for the first time this May. Grab your ticket. I will see you there. We start off talking about their most recent releases, Mad and Madder. And hopefully, if you don't have a ticket, this will convince you to get one. Recent release. You've got Mad and you've got Madder. And you have said, along with your brother in interviews, that it's probably one of the first times you've allowed yourself to acknowledge that the world is not in a great way. If you could look back at the Mail brothers that were making those releases, do you think you were hopeful that things were going to get better?
I guess we've been optimists, but at a certain point, enough is enough. So the two records, the EP that followed Mad Matters, kind of an extension of Mad. You know, Mad, the title Mad is also can be taken two ways, as mad as in angry, or also mad as in crazy. And so it also is not entirely specific that it's about the outside world. It can also be applied to what Sparks has always been forever, kind of those both meanings of the term mad. Yeah, but in answer to your question about the current environment, I don't know. At a certain point, what can you say? You hope enough people will have some sort of influence in the public that just things have to change. Right at the moment, I don't know. Right at the moment, we'll flee to New Zealand. That's the rep that you guys have there, is that's, you know, you guys have some sanity. I hope that's the case. We may be moving in with you guys soon if everything continues this way in the States. Yeah.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what is it rather we hail at the twilight's last gleaming? Through broad stripes of bright stars, through the perilous fight, or the rampas we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, oh, say can you see arms bursting in air, in through the night, oh, the dark flag is still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave, or the land of the free and the home of the brave? seen is that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free. And one more thing, can I date your country? Oh baby, baby, can I date your country? Oh baby, baby, can I date your country?
You are incredibly well-traveled as a band. Is this your first time to New Zealand?
Yeah, it is, both musically with the band and also just personally. Yeah, we've never, for no specific reason other than it just hadn't gotten together, but we haven't been there, so we're really looking forward to it. We're so happy that both Auckland and Christchurch were put into this this tour of that part of the world. Yeah, we're really excited. And even before we come to New Zealand, we're playing in Japan. We have two shows in Tokyo that we're doing, and then we're doing a bunch of shows after New Zealand and Australia in the UK. A bunch. We're doing one show even with the Gorillaz in at a big stadium at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Oh my gosh!
We're supporting Gorillaz, but we're also we've been recently. We have a. For those who don't know, we have a song, a collaboration that we did with Gorillaz on their new album called The Happy Dictator. So wherever possible, we've been going on stage with them and doing our one song together with Damon and the whole lot. We just did two shows with them here in Hollywood that were previews to the new album. And then in London, the last show of our tour, of our own tour in the UK, we're going to do it with them at that stadium, which will be exciting. And then we'll do a spark set, and then we'll go on afterwards into our one song together with them. So it'll be a thrill.
On anyone, it's not easy on the body, it's not easy on the brain. How do you keep yourself safe to keep delivering night after night? It's not an easy breezy sitting down show, especially not for you. You're the singer.
No, it's, I mean, it's hard, and you want to give the best possible show for people that do come to see you, you know, and that so that hopefully they're not disappointed, and especially kind of take pride in the singing that it hopefully will sound like it did way back when, and people won't be disappointed. So, you know, it just takes a lot of taking care of yourself in all sorts of ways, and, you know, regular gym routine. And, you know, it's hard though, you know, just all the traveling, because everyone knows that airports and all of that aren't the most fun thing, especially now. And kind of the payoff for us is just getting to do the actual shows. They're so much fun, and getting to come to places like New Zealand where we haven't been is just at this point in our career too, to have a new territory we've never come. It's kind of exciting. So I don't know, it's a bit of all of that, and you just kind of wade through it all with the you know, the goal in your head that it's all about the performance that night. The audience doesn't know about all of the outside factors of you getting there. All they see are is the hour in 45 minutes that you're on stage. And so that's the only thing that's important.
When she's on her best behavior, don't be tempted by the favors. Never turn your back on mother. So still.
now things have kind of evened out as far as the reaction everywhere. And part of it's due to the documentary that was done by Edgar Wright, the Sparks Brothers, about a documentary about the band. And I think that film had a huge impact about Sparks' audience everywhere around the world, because Edgar treated Sparks' career as one continuum, that it's not that this was the golden era, or this was the golden era, or that was the golden era of Sparks, that Sparks has been and is still doing, you know, in his mind, the best work they've ever done now. And so I think with that kind of way that he presented Sparks in the documentary, the audiences all around the world kind of have caught up on all the different periods of Sparks. And so the reaction tends to be that we can perform any song from our whole catalog. And I think fans even appreciate when Sparks kind of dives deep into, you know, some more obscure songs that they maybe wouldn't expect from the band.
With Franz Ferdinand and being able to then branch out into potentially Latin America before Edgar Wright's movie had come out. So you've kind of got all the bases covered now, huh?
Yeah. I mean, things like that really do help. You know, the collaboration we did with Franz Ferdinand, the FFS album, even things like the Gorillaz collaboration that we've just done, we're getting new fans from that, you know, that were from their audience who maybe weren't aware of Sparks at all. And then they see us in the context of what they're doing. And so I think all those peripheral projects really help the band. Even we did a movie musical a few years back as well. It was called Annette. And that film also brought in new fans that maybe were coming more from the movie area that weren't familiar with the band. And as a result of that, they sort of went and discovered Sparks' whole catalog. So I think all the peripheral things that we do really help in a big way to bring in new people to the Sparks fold. So we're really, we love doing Sparks, our own material, our own albums, but I think all of the side projects and movies and collaborating with other bands really also help our cause too.
Do you think there's the opportunity for you and your brother to now go, aha, okay, all of our fans get it. They're not going to be surprised when we change up the rule book. Or is it now more difficult and you feel like, well, gosh, it's harder to surprise you?
It does become harder and harder to surprise people, you know, especially after we've had something like 28 albums now. Like you said, the audience, I think Sparks audience, they really relish being challenged by something and that we do and are kind of hoping even to be surprised and expecting to be surprised. So knowing that, I think that pushes us to try to do things that are, you know, first of all, exciting for us to do, something fresh for us to do for ourselves. But then we think that Sparks fans in turn will hopefully respond to whatever kind of direction we happen to take things. So we feel in that way, creatively, we're in a really good position.
And of course, a lot of that has been democratized by your ability to record yourself. Most of the most recent albums, gosh, for a while now, have been recorded in your house, yeah?
Yeah, it's really been liberating. I mean, we've been doing now for quite a while, but we remember the days when you went into commercial recording studios and, you know, the clock was ticking away.
Somebody was paying for it.
Dollars were ticking away.
Yeah.
And so we really so much prefer working this way where we can spend as much time as we want and we can experiment and try things. And if they don't work for some reason, we've only wasted time, but we haven't, you know, wasted budgets or anything else. So we think it's really liberating having our own recording studio now and just can go in whenever we want and don't have to have things scheduled out and stuff like that and just try whatever we want to try and no one will know about our failures because we keep it to ourselves.
Fail
only hear
in
the
private.
Good stuff.
Yeah, fail in private, succeed in public. Do you
exactly.
still have time to record?
Yeah, I mean we both think that that's kind of the one thing that keeps, you know, it really keeps our whole thing alive is the new material. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're still doing what we're doing. And we hope that what we're doing now doesn't sound like it's coming from a band with a 28 album long history, that it sounds like it's happening, you know, from a band that if you got Sparks' latest album, that would be a good representation of what we are and not sounding like it's from the past. And so we spend a lot of time with that kind of thought in mind. And so any spare time we have or any blocks of time, we really do spend recording or writing mainly to come up with new material. So yeah, we're working on new stuff even now. So, you know, the touring and all does kind of put the brakes on it for a while because we're not the type that kind of can write on the road. A lot, there's artists that they actually get in the tour bus and write a song, but we're kind of not that way. We prefer just kind of focusing on writing when there's a good quiet period of time.
Speaking of the amount of work there is, though, the Australasian tour in some press is being called the very best of. For two people who don't like being nostalgic and don't necessarily like looking back too much, how do you go about preparing for a tour, which is essentially doing just that?
Yeah, well, the very best of is, we're not so sure about that term being applied. we heard that, so we'll just ignore that.
Cool.
We
noted.
But because the very best of, it's really ironic because someone had mentioned that they would like it to be called that. And we said, well, if you can tell us what the very best of Sparks is, we would do it, but we're not sure. Because also, even from a fan's perspective, if we threw that question out, like, can you tell us what the very best of Sparks is, we'd get 500 different possibilities of songs, you know, to choose from. Because it really is, people have their own favorites of Sparks and sometimes really obscure songs that are their favorites. So are those the very best of Sparks, or are the very best of Sparks the ones that, you know, you've had that have been big hits, or, you know? And so I think now we've kind of found, this sort of relates back to what we were talking about earlier, but we can kind of do songs from any period or even obscure songs that people might not have heard from us live before. And it all sounds of a piece. And I think that whatever we end up doing on a particular evening, that will be the best of Sparks that you'll hear that evening.
That's a really good way to recontextualize it. It's the best of Sparks today, so we're not looking back.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
No, no use in lecturing them or in threatening them. They will just say, who are you? Is that a question or not? And you see that the plot is predictable, not new, but just as stunned at the things you will do. No, no use in taking their time or in wasting two dimes on a call to God knows who, when all you feel is the rain in its heart. And wait in the queue. So when do I get to see my way? When do I get to feel like Sinatra? When do I get to sing my way in heaven or hell? So when do I get to do it my way? When do I get to feel like Sinatra's girl? When do I get like a bright Christmas day, and traditions must go on. And though I say yes, I see, no, I really don't see, is my smiley face still on? Sign your name with the next mowed lawn. So when do I get to sing my way? When do I get to feel like Sinatra? When do I get to sing
Now, I'm almost scared to ask because I know in the past film not only means so much to the two of you, but some of your film collaborations have not worked out as well as you have wanted or just not happened at all. I have to ask, John Woo, what's happening there?
We have a new film project, a new movie musical, and we had been working with him for the past year and a half on this new project that he really loves what we're doing. And so we're at the point now where just it's still in development, and but we're really excited that someone of his kind of sensibility and just stature as a film director would respond so favorably to what we've done as a musical as well, which is not necessarily what you'd think of. So in any case, it's still in development, but yeah, we're positive it will start filming at some point, we hope, in the very, very near future. Because that whole experience with Annette was just so, on so many levels, so special for us. And to have this film that we wrote and did all the music for to be the opening night film at the Cannes Film Festival, and then to win all these French César awards for the music and everything. That was such a highlight for us. So we want to repeat that, but in a completely different story and a completely different kind of feel with the new film that we have. But it'll be happening, yeah, as soon as possible.
You are, as they say, the rarest of things, a Los Angelian native. Los Angeles itself has been through a lot in the past while. Where do you go when you want to most find respite in Los Angeles?
We grew up here, so we're like... when we were going to school and when we were young, you know, we'd spend 3 months every day at the beach. So, I mean, that's kind of, for us, Los Angeles is so much the beach culture, and, you know, is so much a part of our childhood and everything was going to the beach and playing beach volleyball and all that. So I would recommend, seeing the beaches of Los Angeles, yeah.
Well, if you both do end up moving here, we'll get along great because we've got a lot of beaches.
Oh, yeah, we've heard you've got water surrounding you. So
we do. Yeah. So who are you bringing with you when you come here? What do we look forward to?
There's three other musicians, a guitarist, and bass player and drummer that have been with us now for quite a while on our past tours, and they're great because they're excellent musicians, but they don't sound like they're jaded and like sessiony in a way. They really add to Sparks in making the music that we're doing be really modern, and so we really are happy with our band. They're great and young and not jaded and cynical like Ron and myself.
It's all a balance, right?
Yeah, you gotta have a balance. You gotta have some people without any cynicism. It's more healthy.
Is there any particular standout track that is the most fun for you to perform on stage? As a vocalist, you really feel like you're in the pocket and you're just going for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, and that one of the most known Spark songs, really old one, is "This Town Ain't Big Enough for Both of Us," and I think that one, you know, it's always exciting. We've done it, you know, 2 billion times now, but it's always exciting to do. But, you know, and there's what's also exciting is just doing new songs that we haven't yet done, new old songs of Sparks that are from albums that are maybe more obscure of Sparks, but doing those too, because we found that a lot of people that come to see Sparks and are surprised to hear these songs that maybe are their closet favorites in a certain way, and then not expecting to hear them live. So those are also fun. So it's kind of a mixture of songs that I really enjoy doing live. Yeah.
It's a very diplomatic response. It's good.
Yeah, that's diplomatic. Yeah. Nothing specific. Yeah.
No, that's good. I totally understand. We very much look forward to seeing you here in Aotearoa. I will be there waving my arms in the air.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, look forward to seeing you at the show.